When you go to the circus, when you look at the trapeze act, you notice that at the bottom of it, there is a safety net. The reason is because no matter how they practice and practice, they were very afraid that they might make a mistake. And if they fail to catch their partner while they swing many meters above the ground, the partner will fall. Either they break their bones very severely or they might even die. And so with a safety net there, they will have that kind of extra confidence to do all kinds of somersault in the air and try to catch one another. In the Christian faith, God knows how dangerous that He has left His children when He left them, when He left us on this earth. We are surrounded by enemies that are extremely powerful, and they outnumber us thousands to one, perhaps, or even more. With Satan and his many fallen angels on his side, and with many men, women, and children nowadays who are on the side of Satan, who control the mass media, who control literally the whole world in terms of its information, we are fighting against an enemy that is perhaps not even close to David fighting against Goliath. It is a huge enemy that is most fearsome, and this enemy has no rules, who will try his utmost to destroy God's people, God's witness, God's will, and God's testimony in your life and in my life. And so we thank God for this benediction in these two final verses of the short book of Jude. In this benediction, God tells us, I am and will always be your safety net. You can trust me that no matter what happens to you, I will always be there for you. And so the Lord's protection over His people must be our most encouraging doctrine as we live for Him in this sin-sick, evil world. And so the first thing to take note in this wonderful benediction is, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. He keeps. And as mentioned in the first message, this verse keep is where we get the word for guard room. It's where we get the word for a fortress, where God will keep us safe, God will guard us so that no enemy will be able to penetrate and succeed in destroying us. God is able, where we get the word dynamite. God has the power to keep us safe from falling. Now, this is not falling into apostasy, because once you are truly born again, you will not fall into apostasy. The word apostasy is where we see it used in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2, falling away. In the last days, there will be a falling away. That falling away is apostasy. To be an apostate means you will deny Christ. It means you will deny, for example, that Jesus Christ is not born of a virgin. He is no longer the Messiah. He did not rise from the dead. That is called apostasy. Like we hear of the Archbishop of Canterbury saying that, I have a hard time believing that God is risen from the dead. Now that is an apostasy, where a person who calls himself a Christian and then denies such a cardinal, basic, fundamental doctrine, especially one that pertains to the gospel message. In other words, he has never been born again in the first place. Because a person who is born again, he will never, never become an apostate. It's impossible, because God has made sure of that through many verses of the scriptures where he says that once you are born again, you are saved in the hands of God Almighty and in the Lord Jesus Christ. No one can separate us from the love of God through Jesus Christ. Once you are saved, you will always be saved. But you have to make sure that you are truly born again. So this falling is not about apostasy. It means standing firm. That means fall into sin and remain in sin. God is able to protect us so that you and I will continue to stand firm. That means when you fall into sin. Now, how can a Christian get himself out of
this state after he has fallen into sin. He repents. He asks God to forgive him. And if the sin that he has fallen into requires him to pay a price, because sin will also have its consequences. And some of these consequences, depending on the nature of the sin, can be very serious and severe. It depends on the person who falls into the sin. For example, if you are just an ordinary member in the church, you did not serve in any capacity, you may be a 4 or 5 year old Christian, and let's say you fall into the sin of adultery, and then you come to the leaders, come to the pastor for counseling and the elders for counseling. You'll be counseled and you really want to repent and you really want to deal with that sin, and then the leaders will assist you, will help you, and help you restore your relationship with your wife and with your family. And in the meantime, you will have to do some spiritual exercises like reading certain good godly books, read certain chapters or books of the Bible, and then the elder or the pastor will meet up with you regularly, perhaps on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, to help you overcome the sin that you have found yourself in. And then you may be asked during this period to keep yourself from the Lord's Supper until such time where the fruit of genuine repentance is seen in your life, where your relationship with your wife or with your spouse begin to mend and begin to be on an even plate. That's all. But if it is a pastor who falls into the same sin, he's no longer like an ordinary member. Now he has fallen. Now how to help him stand firm? The Bible has given us strict guidelines on how, when a pastor falls into such sin, he has to repent of his sin and he has to apologize to the board of elders, not just his family. He has to apologize to the whole session, and then he has to come up to the pulpit and apologize to the whole congregation for betraying your trust in putting him up as a pastor. And because he committed such a terrible sin as a pastor, he will probably not be allowed to serve as a pastor ever again. He will be still serving, but in a diminished capacity. There are grievous consequences. Of course, he will have to make right his relationship with God as well, definitely. And then there will be a period. And according to our BP book of discipline, it will be minimum 1 year of observation. He'll be suspended from his duties. He'll be removed, actually, from his duties. And he will not conduct Lord's Supper. He will not do anything. He will be asked to come for prayer meeting. He'll be asked to come for worship service. But he will not serve in any capacity. And he will have to come for counseling, read certain books, read God's Word, study God's Word, and then the pastors, other pastors may be asked to come and assist in counseling him, in helping him come back and stand firm once again. So different people, different nature of sins committed, different way of how the person can come back and stand firm after he has fallen. God has the power. God has given to us in the Scriptures to make sure that you will be kept safe from falling. This is the safety net that God has placed under every Christian, every believer. God does not expect perfection from us. Please understand this. I know there is one verse that talks about be ye perfect. All right, this is found in the tail end of the Sermon on the Mount. But if you look at the text very carefully, when the phrase used in the last part of chapter 5 of Matthew chapter 5, be ye therefore perfect even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect, it is with reference to your desire to obey the Word of God. Okay, to obey the Word of God perfectly. You know what that means, right? That is possible. That means when you stumble and fall, the Word of God says, you repent. And God will cleanse you and forgive you of all your sins and your unrighteousness. That's what it means. You can obey the Word of God. But when you live a holy life, that's what God wants us. Not a perfect life, but a holy life. A holy life whereby the moment you know you have sin, whether it is in your heart, in your head, or in your life, you ask God to forgive you. That's how God will keep us from falling. God has provided every ways and means so that when you stumble and fall into sin, God will say, no, sorry, I cannot forgive you. Every sin that a child of God stumbles and falls into, if you truly, genuinely, sincerely, with all your heart, come to the Lord, the Lord will forgive you and wash away all your sins as a child of God. Also, as a sinner, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord as your Savior, you know you are on a very, very precarious position. You are like a person walking on very thin piece of rice paper. At any time, you can plunge right through, and beneath it is the depths of hell itself. And that is your life as a sinner without Christ. Because of your sin, you do not know when you will just simply step right through this rice paper thin life that you have. And then right beneath you is the depths of hell. And God doesn't want anyone to end up there. But after you are born again, you are taken out of this. You are now walking on the straight and narrow path. And the end of it, it is the narrow gate. This straight and narrow path underneath us is God's safety net. God says, I have the power to protect you and to keep you safe from falling. Because in the scriptures, you have everything that you need to be victorious. So that when you stumble and fall, the word of God will show you how you can come back to the Lord. You know, in the Old Testament, we have three kinds of laws. The Ten Commandments, the moral law. Then we have the civil law that will regulate the societal life of Israel. And then we have the Levitical law. And the understanding of the principles and purpose of these three laws will help us understand this safety net factor. The moral law tells us the standard that God has for all of us. Before the Ten Commandments came, men knew that they were sinners according to Romans 5 because they died. But they did not know that they were great sinners. By the time they know that they were great sinners, they will end up in hell. Because when you die, you end up in hell because of your sin. You know that you have been a great sinner. So God is gracious and merciful to give us the Ten Commandments to show us that we are great sinners while we are still alive, to drive us to the Savior, to Christ. And that is why it is called the law of sin and death, to kill us while we are still alive, so that you and I will take notice of our sinful ways, so that we will go back to Christ. So you have the moral laws given to us by God. And then on top of this moral law, you will have the civil law. For example, thou shalt not steal. The civil law says, all right, if you steal a sheep, you kill it, sold it, you're caught, you pay 4 sheep. If you steal the sheep, you're caught, the sheep is still alive, you pay 2. If you steal an ox, sold it, killed it, you pay 5 oxen. If you steal a human being, death penalty. So stealing is wrong. So stealing different things, different animals, different people, different penalty. So this will be called the case-by-case laws, the civil law to regulate the societal life. Now, when a person breaks the law, the civil law or the Ten Commandments, then the Levitical law will come in. The Levitical law was given to restore the relationship that Israel will now have with God. Because when you break the laws of God, your relationship with God is now affected. You cannot have any more fellowship with Him. So how to restore the fellowship? If you're a child of God, how to restore my fellowship with God to be on God's good side once again? The Levitical sacrifice system, sacrificial system, is meant to do that. So this will be the three laws. So God has provided everything possible for Israel to stand firm so that Israel will not fall, will not remain in sin. In other words, they can stand firm and stand upright, free from the guilt and the burden of sin, because they can deal with it through the Levitical sacrificial system. Today for us, we still have the moral law to teach us as Christians the standard of God. But because we live in Singapore and we are a church, we obey the civil law of Singapore. But the civil law that is found in Israel, we use it to help us understand the moral law within the church. We don't practice it, but we draw principles from it to help us understand the moral law. And the Levitical law is now replaced by Christ. So much so that the principles remain the same, so that when you talk about Christ being our sacrifice, then what kind of sacrifice? It's not a subjective definition of what the sacrifice is. You study the Levitical law, you will understand the sacrificial system, such as the burnt offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, the thank offering, the free will offering, all the different kinds of offerings will help us understand what it means that Christ is my sacrifice to help me restore my relationship with God through Christ, a reconciliation. And that will be the safety net. And the more you study God's word, the more you will understand that God truly has the power. You and I have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. God has given to us the indwelling of the Spirit of God. God has given to us His powerful Word of God, 66 books of a wonderful, wonderful power that is found in God's Word, because God's Word has power. By the spoken Word of God, this whole world came into being. God's Word, when it is spoken, can raise someone from the dead, can heal the blind, can help lame people who have never walked before to stand up, pick up their mat, and start running. God's Word has power. And God has the power to keep us, that you and I will stand firm and not fall and not remain in sin. That's what it means. And God wants everyone, therefore, to be holy. Because if you're no longer remaining in sin, that means you are holy. And that's why God commands us, be ye holy, because I am holy. He didn't say, be ye perfect as I'm perfect, because He knows it is not possible at this juncture, at this point in time. He understands holiness simply means the positional aspect that God deals with us all the time, that God says, because you are born again, you have the righteousness of the law in you, right? And this righteousness that God sees in every child of God will never be taken away. Even when you sin, He will not take this righteousness away from you. Because if He takes this righteousness away from us, then you and I will still be in sin again. So when you sin, positionally He says, I see no sin. But from the practical standpoint, you sin. As long as you don't get rid of your sin, God says, I can't have fellowship with you. But because you have asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of all your sins, and God has already given to us the righteousness that is of the law, positionally, God says, I already have a relationship with you because now you are my child, my son, my daughter. But because from the practical standpoint, you remain in sin, I cannot break the relationship and I will not break the relationship. The father-child relationship remains. But I cannot encourage you to remain in sin by answering all your prayers, by hearing you, by communicating with you. So what happens is that the fellowship is broken. I will not hear you. I will not hear your prayers because you remain in sin. And so God says, if you confess your sin from your heart and I will forgive you of all your unrighteousness, that means now God wants us to match the positional and the practical for as long as possible. And that's what it means by being holy. You match your positional relationship with God with your practical, whereby the relationship and the fellowship, they are one. And that's how God will keep us from falling. There is no sin that the blood of Christ cannot cleanse, cannot forgive. You think God is not able to do it? He has already done it through Christ Jesus. And God is the one who will continue to keep us safe. Will you let Him? Will you want to deal with your sin? He wants to save us, keep us, protect us, so that you will never fall. And that is the benediction. He wants to keep all of us safe. The problem is sometimes we want to stray away. We want to stray as far as possible outside of the safety net sometimes. And please don't think that God will not discipline us. He will. And one of the ways that He will discipline us, if you refuse to repent and turn and restore the fellowship, He will not take away the salvation if you're truly born again. But if you keep on remaining in sin and do not want to have fellowship with Him, that means deal with your sin in your heart. Firstly, He can make you fall sick. And if that does not work, see, sometimes sickness comes to the believer's life for only two reasons. One is discipline, and the other one is to increase your faith. You better be honest with yourself. Because if it is discipline and you refuse to deal with your sin and you remain, and then sickness comes and you refuse and refuse, then God will take you home. That's what happens to the Christians in Corinth. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 11? Those who played the fool with the Lord's Supper, many became sick and many went to sleep. The sleep there means they died as Christians.
So please understand, God wants to guard you, keep you. Because if you do not bear a godly witness, and every day you live on this earth bearing a false witness for Christ, you are damaging the testimony of Christ in the lives of the people around you. And for their sake, and for the name of Jesus' sake, God says, enough, I will take you home. And God will do it. God has done it in the past. Please understand the standard that God has for the church, the local church. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? They lied to the Holy Spirit. Immediately, they dropped it. There was no argument. There was no explanation. Peter charged them by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, and they dropped it and they died. That is the standard that God has set. And the early stages of the starting of the local church, God already set this standard. And this standard has not lowered, has not changed. Then why is it that when people sin in church, God did not punish them immediately? God's mercy. God's mercy, giving us time to repent. God will and is able to keep all of us from falling. That means remaining in sin. He wants us to stand firm and true. Please stand firm and true. Second aspect of the safety net is that He keeps us from falling. He will present us faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. He will present us. Present means hold us high up. You know, like a person who has won a trophy after he played whatever game, whatever activities, after he trained and trained, after he struggled and struggled and struggled, and then he won the competition, he beat everybody else, and now he's the champion of champions, and he will be given this trophy, and he'll raise it high up. That is what it means to present us faultless, to raise us high up before God and before everybody, faultless. Faultless means without blemish, without blame, holy. That's what it means. Washed by the blood of Christ, pure and holy, without blame, before the presence of God Himself. And the Lord will do it with exceeding joy. Exceeding joy. That is what is in store for all of us. God will not measure us according to what God has gifted us to do. So please don't think that those who are preachers of God's word will be shining brighter for God on the day of God presenting us before His glory with exceeding joy versus those who serve behind the scene when nobody noticed. Please don't ever have this mentality. If you have this mentality, please erase it. It is wrong. God's gift, that means it's not up to you or me to choose. If I have a choice, honestly speaking, I don't want to be a preacher. I don't want to be a pastor also, if I have a choice, honestly speaking. Because I'm scared of the responsibility. I'm scared of teaching the wrong thing. But if God has called you, you cannot run away. You have to do it. That's why I don't understand why some people who don't have the gift of preaching, who are not called, they want to be pastor, they want to preach. I have no idea why they want to be so foolhardy. Because God is not going to measure us according to what we do, because it is a gift from God. God is going to measure all of us according to faithfulness. Faithful in whatever gift, wherever, whichever area that God has given to you. And you do everything faithfully. Actually, what I want is to be invisible, to serve somewhere quietly. If possible, just wash the toilet in the church. And I will do it faithfully, keeping it clean, spotless. Actually, that's what I would like to do. But God did not want me to do that. I like to do that. Seriously, because it's so much easier in terms of only cleaning the toilet, what? Right? Just keep the toilet clean, smell good every time. Just keep clean. It's only me and the toilet. It's so easy, right? It's only me and the toilet. Seriously, it's only me and the toilet. I just look after the toilet, won't complain, right? I just me and the toilet. If the toilet is nice and clean and everybody come and use it, I just keep on cleaning. It's only me and the toilet. It's so easy, Lord. Just me and the toilet. You know how wonderful it's just me and the toilet, right? But now it's me and all of you. And the more people come in, oh God, some more. Could look after your spiritual life, your problem, my problems. Your problems are my problems, you know that, right, as a pastor. True? That's why who wants to be here? I don't want to be here. But if I know, if I don't want to be here, I get caned. I cannot run away.
That's why I don't understand why some people want to be pastor if they don't want to do the work of a pastor. I just don't understand. Faithfulness is the measure, is the yardstick for you and for me. It's not what we do. That's why there's nothing glorious to be in the limelight. There's nothing. It's only scare. I'm very frightened, afraid. Afraid to fail all of you, afraid to fail God. God wants to present us flawless. Flawless in what? Flawless in what God has entrusted us to do while we are on this earth. That's it, right? Because salvation is all of the Lord. But while we remain on this earth, that is human responsibility to occupy our time while he tarries. Right? That's what we are supposed to do. With every cent that God has given to me, I have to use it to help me be a better Christian, better pastor, to study God's word, to look after my family, to help them to become more like Christ. Every cent, one day I have to answer to the Lord. That's why I don't understand why people want to have millions of dollars. Because you have $1 million to answer to God for. You know how to use and spend millions of dollars to the glory of God. If you know, God bless you. I don't know. That's why I don't want it. If somebody give me a million, I said, please take it. I don't want. I don't want. What do I have to do with it? You're going to ask those people who want, buy lottery ticket and they want hundreds of millions of dollars. To me, they are fools. What are you going to do with it? Okay, 300, 400 million. What are you going to do with it? You answer to God, you know that. He wants us to be faultless. Which area of your life? Your life here on this earth. Because the moment you arrive in heaven in a glorified body, you're already faultless. So present us faultless. The only time where you will be tested and challenged is right now. That's what the purpose of the safety net is for. It's right now here on this earth. Up in heaven, you don't need a safety net. Everyone is holy and righteous and glorified. No sin, no sinner up there. It's only right now where we are surrounded by dangers and dangerous people, dangerous demons. That God wants us to be faultless. And that means there is human responsibility. God will do his part, but we must do our part. Be found faithful in whatever gift and calling that God has given to you. That's what you and I must do, because God wants to raise us up as a trophy, faultless. Look at this person's life. Look at so-and-so's life. Let the whole world, the whole heaven see. He has passed the test. He is victorious. He is faultless. He is blameless, without blemish. When he stumbled and fall, he asked the blood of Christ to wash him. And then he picked himself up and he keep on serving faithfully until he drops dead, until the Lord calls him home. God will present him faultless, looking after the toilet to the best of his ability, faultless. True? All of us can do that. All of us is supposed to do that.